saints of God, brothers and sisters of the past community of faith, who hold before us examples of timeless qualities of peace, love, joy, hope, and faith. Come hear a word from the saints of God, believers in the truth and the integrity of the gospel, whose convictions were not shaken by fear, coercion, imprisonment, sickness, or death. Come pray a prayer with the saints of God. They lived not only in ages past, for the saints of God are folk like you and me who know God as the way to be free. Let us pray together the prayer of confession found on your program. Merciful God, we humble ourselves in your presence, confessing our unworthiness in your sight. We have broken your holy law. We have not sought first your kingdom and righteousness. We have been troubled and anxious about many things, while neglecting the things which truly belong to our peace. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Most gracious God, you who have given your Son, Jesus Christ, to save your people from their folly and rebellion, forgive us, we pray. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness and renew a right and trusting spirit within us. Through the grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Hear these words of assurance. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You may be seated. Let us hear these words from the writer of the book of Revelation. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Also he said, Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Our epistle lesson is found in the book of Colossians. And so from the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, to lead a life worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Would you stand with me for the reading of the gospel? We will remain standing after this for the Gloria Patri and the affirmation of faith. Hear these words from John. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary sat in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, he who is coming into the world. May the Lord bless our hearing of these words. Let us join together in an affirmation of our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Let us pray. O holy God, before you we stand like beggars before the King, knowing the long history of beggars and clowns, thinkers and actors in which we stand. We give thanks for these lives gone before us, our models for the faith, for the women who knew in Christ the gentleness and power of all mankind, Mary Magdalene, Mary, Salome, and others, for gentle Francis of Assisi, for Martin Luther King, for all the spiritual fathers, for the pilgrims who strove for peace and unity, for the holy men of nations with whom we disagree, for the lyric poets who sang of life, for peaceful people of action, for the activists, for all who outlined the community nature of the faith, for visionaries, for all the saints of history, and for all the saints who gather here at this time, we give thanks. We affirm them as men and women by whom we are assisted to find ourselves. We stand in line of this great community from whom there is much to be learned and through whom we gain strength. But especially do we give thanks for him in whom all the community began, our brother, Jesus of Nazareth. Holy God, we remember before you this day those people whom we have known and loved who have recently died. We give thanks to you for their lives and example and for all they have meant to us. We pray for those who grieve for them, that they may be sustained by the knowledge that death cannot separate us from your love, and that we are all one in the life of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We remember before you the communion of saints of this present age. We celebrate our unity and fellowship with Christians throughout the world and pray that our unity might show itself in love and concern, generous deeds and courageous action. We pray for those saints who are hungry and destitute, who are oppressed, reviled, and persecuted, who are unable to preach and teach your gospel. We pray for those from this place who are ill or bereaved or anxious, that they may know your healing presence and love. We remember before you the newest generation of your saints, and we pray for the future of the church and for those Christians who are yet to come. We pray for all those who are responsible for the Christian nurture and upbringing of the young. Spirit of power, be with us to empower our lives for faith and service and love. Show us the truth which has set us free and is freeing us even now. We look forward to the coming of your kingdom when we, with Christians not yet born and the saints and witnesses of the past, may together praise you and rejoice in the final triumph of your perfect love. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of us all, amen.
It was All Saints' Day, November the 1st, 1941. German armies were sweeping across Europe and North Africa. England stood alone, a tiny outpost holding out against the world domination envisioned by Adolf Hitler and his mindless believers. In Germany and the conquered countries, the efficient German bureaucracy was quietly and dispassionately enslaving conquered populations and systematically carrying out the final solution to the Jewish problem. On that day, Helmut Thielicke, former professor of theology at the University of Heidelberg, now a pastor in exile in the tiny southern German village of Ravensburg, wrote a letter to a former doctoral student, a former student who was now serving as a pilot in the German Air Force. That student, Hans Felix Hederich, had written Professor Thielicke about his disillusionment. He had hoped that if the apocalyptic rider of war were to roar across the fatherland it would produce a blazing storm of inner awakening about the meaning of death and of God. But such had not been the case. Professor Tilica's reply acknowledged the facts of the situation and spoke of the ways in which people try to modify or gag the questions which death seems to scream at them. One gag, wrote Tilica, was the assertion that death is simply a segment of nature, part of the rhythm of becoming and perishing. But this is not so, said Tilica. It is not the rhythm of life which snatches away half-fulfilled young men. Death appears as a kind of enemy, a contradiction, something unnatural, something which shatters the bonds of life and friendship. Death, the enemy. We know about that, do we not? Most of us here have experienced the cruel sundering of bonds as persons dear to us, persons unique and irreplaceable, have passed from the scene, leaving an emptiness in the place of all that we think was intended to be. That is how we view death, as an enemy. It is loss, it is waste, it is tragic, it is out of season. The more we know, in fact, of the dignity and the uniqueness of ourselves and other persons, the more we invest ourselves in loving relationships, the more we have to lose, and the more death strikes at the heart of our very being. Yet, as in the face of this seeming irrationality and finality of death, that we Christians assert our confidence that death does not have the last word. On All Saints' Day, on November the 1st, though we're celebrating it early here, on All Saints' Day in particular, we remind ourselves of our confidence that life is not measured by cellular life, that we are in fact part of a great communion of the saints whose being is not finally negated by the ravages of disease, by the mindless terrors of violence, or the declining vitality of our aging bodies. The fact of death notwithstanding, we celebrate here on this day a oneness with that larger and unseen community of God's people, that great cloud of witnesses who live in the power of the resurrected Christ, the one who has conquered both sin and death, and calls us to share his life with him. But how can this be? Are we living a life of disillusionment? Are we dreaming, simply hoping against hope? Well, let me say that our confidence is certainly not based upon some notion of an immortal, impersonal substance residing within us by which we manage to outlive the physical frailty characteristic of other species. No, our hope, rather, is in a personal fellowship. A personal fellowship with God which is granted to us individually and collectively for no apparent reason other than that God's own gracious love has wooed us, has granted us a righteousness which we did not earn, and made us to participate in a life in which the barriers to eternity are removed. The free gift of God, wrote the Apostle Paul, is eternal life in our Lord Jesus Christ. Bound together with Christ, we are even now, in possession of this new life, even if it is also still hidden with Christ in God. Death as a boundary, as the terminus of physical life, has lost its significance. Death as a reminder of our fallen nature and our willingness to destroy ourselves and others has been rendered meaningless and powerless in the face of God's life, which we share. Death has no power over those who are in Jesus Christ in fellowship with the one who has shattered death and made it impotent. The writer of Hebrews said that Christ's physical death, a fate which he shared with us all, has destroyed him who has the power of death and delivered all those who through the fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. The power of evil, I think, is in the fatalistic notion that this is it. When physical death comes upon us, it is all over. And therefore, the only goods of this world, we are told, are of ultimate value. These worldly goods are our gods. You have no hope with the eternal one, we tell ourselves. You might as well live and die with the fleeting successes and satisfactions of the moment. That is the bondage of death. But those who live in fellowship with God are no longer slaves to these false gods. The victory has been taken from the grave, and death has lost its killing power. Physical death is not removed, of course, but it has lost its poisonous sting, for death does not separate us from God. He who believes in me, I who am the resurrection and the life, said Jesus, though he die, yet shall he live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. That is what we celebrate on this All Saints' Day. The fear that once enslaved us, the fear that we were separated from God and that the gods of this world were all that we could count upon, have become meaningless. Meaningless because God has come to us. God has come, and those who trust have already passed from death to life. Let me return again to that All Saints Day in 1941, to the conclusion of Professor Tielica's letter to his student, a young man who was shortly after to die in battle. In death, wrote Professor Tielica, I am really and irretrievably and in actual fact at my end. But at the same time, I am one whose history with God cannot stop, since I am called by my name and I am the friend of Jesus. The resurrected one is victorious, and I stand within his sphere of power. It is he who marches at my side as Lord and brother, and who can no more abandon me on the other side than he could let me out of his hand here on this side of the grave. On this day, we remind ourselves that if we live, we live unto the Lord. If we die, we die unto the Lord. We are in his living hand, and only his hand is alive. Hand that will last, hold thou me fast, said Professor Tielica. The only way we can die is to die unto the Lord. We can only fall into the hands of the living God. Is God not alive? Oh, yes. Then we too are to live, and death shall not separate us from the love of God. So then it is with the saints on high and with the saints around us that we are able to sing, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Let us pray together our prayer of commemoration and commitment. Eternal God, help us this day to remember the unseen cloud of witnesses who compass us about, those who in every age and generation witness to their faith in life and in death, those who by their courage and their sacrifice won for us the freedom and the liberty to enjoy, those who have served and those who continue to serve others at the cost of pain, of persecution, and of death. Those living martyrs who now suffer at the hands of oppressors and dictators and yet remain faithful to Christ in obedience and in witness. Those whom we love and who have gone to be with you, and whose lives live on in our hearts. Help us to walk worthily of those in whose unseen presence our lives are lived. Help us, like them, to commit our lives to Christ in such a way that we may know their courage in danger, their steadfastness in trial, their perseverance in difficulty, their loyalty when loyalty is costly, their love which nothing can change, their joy which nothing can take away. So grant to us in this life never to forget those who have gone before, so that in the life to come we may share their blessedness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the God of glory undergird you, the God of the living and the dead go with you, the God of all power and peace give you peace, both now and evermore. Amen.